begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Yud Zayin. We begin on the bottom of Tezayin and the base, two lines on the bottom. The Gemara continues discussing the theme of the previous dafim, which from the previous Mishnah, which spoke about the Yud Ches Dvarim, the 18 things that on that day in that attic, that the students of Beis Shammai outnumbered the students of Beis Hillel, and they made 18 decrees which were in the favor of the students of Shammai versus the students of Beis Hillel. So we already spoke about many different things that were decreed. And now the Gemara continues discussing to get to the number 18, what were all these different decrees? So the Gemara has a bit idach, what was another one of the 18 things that were decreed on that day? Mahi. So the Gemara says, Ditnan, as we learned in the following Mishnah, Kala metaltan, all movable items, mevi'in esatuma, could cause tuma to be conveyed. And that is regarding the halacha of oihel, which is that if something is under one area, which is, let's so to speak, like a tent, is the generic term given for that. So anything in that area has what's called tumas oil. So therefore, metaltan would have the following halacha, that if, let's say, one part of this metaltan, this movable item, covers over a corpse, and another part of that item, let's say it's a plank or whatever it is, would be leaning and being ma'al, covering, so to speak, an area of vessels, so then that would transport the tumah of the oil hames onto the thing which is under the thing in a different area, that it should be tummy for 7 days, and it should become an ava tumah, like what's known as the tumah of tumas oil, that again, if it's under the same area, so here, if you have an item that is a metatlan, let's say something, a large item, that it, on one under one part of it is a corpse, under another part of it is a keli, it'll be considered under the same oil to give it, to transmit it to tumas of oil, that it should be tummy for 7 days, and that it becomes an ava tumah. However, the halacha says that it's bo'ivi hamardeya, even if it's just the thickness of a goad, which that was a tool they used to use in those days, was a pole that had spiked edges that they used to use to urge on the animals to go. So that is, even if this metaltlin, this movable item, is not even a tefach thick, which is only, it only has the thickness of a mardeya, and the Gemara later explains that this mardeya, this goad, had its circumference was a tefach, which in essence makes it a third of a tefach in thickness. And that's the amount of that's needed to circle around that area. It will take a third of a tefach, will take a tefach of string to surround it. And that is, although that really the halacha of oil of a tent of in regarding the halachas of tumah min hatari requires a tefach, and that's the halacha of Meshem Messina, like all of this room. Here the Rabban were geizer, they decreed what's known as hekefa mishim avi. As the Gemara later will explain, that they decreed the circumference of a tefach to have the same tumah as the thickness of a tefach, because we might come to confuse them. So therefore, even though it's just a third of a tefach, this thickness of the goad, still we're going to be metame and consider everything as this, as the tum of oil, even though it's only a third of what the halacha minatar is, that it has to be a tefach. So on that, Amr Abtah from Tafa commented on that. And that Mishnah, and we continue on to the top of Yud Zayin Amad Aleph, akapech es b'ni, I'm going to cut off my children. In other words, it was a statement of distress about the Torah that was forgotten, and he was, so to speak, cursing himself. Because this is a cut-off law. So he's using the term cut-off regarding his children because he was saying this is a cut-off law, it's not a complete law. And that is Shashama Hashemei Avatah, the one who heard this halacha, he heard it, but he made a mistake. And that is when he heard the Shaila being said in the Beis Medrash, he heard that they said that such a thing would become Tamei if a person would be under that. But he made a mistake because he didn't know why they were making this person Tamei. As the Gemara says, the story goes as follows. And this is what Reb Tarfim is saying. Ha'ikar oiver, there was a farmer that was walking, umardei al-kasefer, and had this goad, this pole on his shoulder, ve'ihil tzide achas al-kever, and then one end of this pole was laying over a grave. And as Reb Tarfim says, timuoy, so they made the farmer tamei, but that's for a whole different halacha, that's mishum keil mamahil malames. That's because of utensils that are lying above a corpse, that it gets the tumah that way, but not because it becomes what's known as halacha of oihel of regarding tumah, and that's as follows. That is, the mardeya became tummy because it was a keli, it's a vessel, it's a movable item that's overarching, it's on top of some of a corpse. And that is the keli itself that so to speak, that's an oil that's covering over something that's tummy, that's even a kosher, no matter what size it is, it doesn't have to be the ishir of a tefach. That's only if you want to make it the din of oihel to bring tumah for other things which are under the rest of that so to speak canopy or rest of under that area. That to bring tumah other things, it needs to have a tefach. But for itself, it's even if that movable item just goes over the ear space of that thing that's tummy regarding the corpse, it will become tummy even if it's a kalshu. And that is, so they made the farmer, his tumah now that he was holding the goad, he became what's known as tumas erev, that he was tummy only up until the evening because he was touching that keli, which was a avatumah. and whatever touches it becomes a Rishon. So he became a Rishon, and therefore he had to become Tamei up until the evening. The one that heard the halacha, he made a mistake. He thought that they made the farmer an Ava Tamei, and that is that he should become Tamei for 7 days, and they should require what's known as Hazah, that they spray him on the third and the seventh day. And therefore, this one who heard the halacha, he wanted to prove that there's a halacha of Oihel, of, so to speak, this goad being the canopy that's, so to speak, one end of it was over the corpse, as it was over his shoulder, it was over the corpse. And one end of it was over the farmer, that you see that although it's not the thickness of a tefach, even though it's just a third, you see that's enough to make it a halacha of oil, because how did the farmer become an avatumah? How did he get the tumah for 7 days? Obviously, it's because he was in the same oil as the corpse and him, so therefore, that's why he got it. But Reb Tafet said that's wrong. He heard incorrectly, because the farmer didn't become tamei because he was under the oil of the goat. You need to have a tefach. This is just a third of a tefach. That was for a different reason that he became tamei. He didn't get a tumah of 7 days. He got a tumah up until the evening, and that is because the mess made the goat that passed over it. It became tamei. It became an avatama, and then it transmitted the tumah to the person that was touching it, which became a rishon. But not that it beget. It's not coming from the halacha of oil. Rather, it's just the gradual transmission of a keli that passes over. It becomes tamei, and then that touched the person. Therefore, he became tamei. So therefore, he was displeased with that halacha, and he says it's not true. The halacha of oil requires a tefach. So Amr Bekiva Aniya Sakin. I will amend it, that the words of the Chacham could stand. And that is, it's as it was said over with like the one who argued in Reb Tafrin, that the thickness of a mardeya, of this goad, could bring tumah. And that is, Reb Akiva says it depends. And that is as follows. You call him a tatlin mevin as a tumah, that all movable items could convey tumah, and that is, depending for what, it'll have a different measurement. For the person that's carrying it, which in this case was the farmer, that is Bo'eve Mardeya. That's as the story was. That will be even the thickness of a goat, which is around a third of a tefach. Its circumference is a tefach, but it doesn't have to have the thickness of a tefach. Val Atzman B'cholshein, regarding the thing that's passing over the dead person, that's, as we said before, it's even if it's a kol shu, any size, if it passes over that airspace, the goat doesn't have to be even a third of a tefach. Anything that is will become tamei. And that will be, as like Reb Tarfina says, that regarding other people and other kalim that are under the area of, let's say, one end of the goat is over the dead person and one end of it is over something else, that's as Reb Tarfina says, has to be the thickness of a tefach. And as Reb Kiva is essentially agreeing to the argument of Reb Tarfina that anything that's under the same area as, so to speak, the halach of oil of this goat, that if one end is covering over the corpse and one end is over the movable over something else, a person or an object, a vessel, it will require a tefach, as Reb Tarfin said. However, Kiva says that I could answer that there is a certain case when we will make, so to speak, the tumas of oil even less than a tefach, as we're saying, the tumas of a mardeya, even if it's just a third of a tefach. And that's because as follows. There are certain things that we're going to, so to speak, make this rabbinic, which is one of the things that we're saying is one of the yutchas, drum, one of the 18 things, that will have the tumah of oil even less than the biblical oil, which requires a tefach. And that's in the specific case of actually when the farmer is carrying the goad, in the case when the person is carrying it. That is because since minat Torah, there is tumah for the person that's carrying the goad, because what's known as tumas maga, because he's touching it. So therefore, touch is always a transmission of tumah. So therefore, they were geyser on anything that's the thickness of this mardeya, that it should convey a tumas oil medirabonim. And that's for the following reason, because they were concerned about the circumference because of the thickness. And that is, since you're anyways making the person that's touching this goat tumah min ha-Torah, that he has to have at least harav shemesh, sundown, and because, again, because the mess conveyed it to the goat, which is conveying it to him. But this person didn't touch the mess. And people are going to think that why you're making the person that's holding the goat tumah, that's because the circumference is a tefach, and therefore they think that it has the tumah of oil, which requires a tefach, and it doesn't have to have, they'll think it doesn't have to have the thickness of a tefach, it's enough it has the circumference, and the goat has the circumference of a tefach. And therefore, since this person is not going to be tumah for 7 days, because really he doesn't have tumah oil, he really has only tumah maga because it was touching, but people think that it was because of oil, that they saw it was leaning over him, and it was leaning over the corpse, so therefore, oh, that's a oil, and although it's not the thickness of a tefach, it has the circumference of a tefach. But then they're going to see that he's not tummy for 7 days, so they're going to come to say that even when it really is a complete halach of oil hames, that then also it's enough just to be tummy up until the evening, and that you don't have to become tummy for 7 days. And that's why the Rabbanu were geyser, that in this case, when the person who's carrying it, who is going to have a tumah and that is going to be enough just to the evening. The people might confuse it and think that it's really coming for the halach of tumas oil, which because it has people will think that the circumference is the same as the thickness, and therefore it so to speak is good enough for the halacha of oil, which requires a tafach. And they're going to see that he's not for 7 days. They're going to think that's going to be enough just for the evening. That's why they say that no, this person has to have the tumah for 7 days, which is midrabanan, because we're concerned that they're going to confuse it with old tumas oil that does not require 7 days, enough just for the evening. However, regarding other adam akelim, which are not touching the goad, so there he agrees to Reb Tarfon, there you should not be metameh at all, because again, as you said, it requires a shira, a thickness of a tefach, for somebody to be considered oil. So this movable item, for example, this goad, that's one end is over the corpse, and one end over something else, correct, it will not convey the tumah, as you said, but Reb Kiva is coming to explain the opinion of Drabbanan regarding the argument of Reb Tarfon, and is saying that this is a special type of case, that we were concerned people are going to confuse it, and that's why it's even if it's a third of a tefach, because its circumference is a tefach, and therefore people might confuse it with oil, and they'll think that it's enough till the evening. That's why this is one of the Yotches Dvarim, that they were geyser, that it's going to be even a third of a tafach, that person will require the regular tumas, which come along with the oil, for third and the seventh day being sprayed, and that the tumah will be for the entire 7 days. Now the Gemara explains, if Amr B'yanei, Umar Deya Sha'amr, this goad that we were speaking about that brings tumah on the one that's carrying it, that he should be tummy for 7 days in the Abanan, which again is one of the Yotches Dvarim, in ba'avyoy tefach, the thickness of it is not a tefach, because if not, if it was a tefach, then it would be halach of oil minatayrov, then it would require the tumas oil minatayrov, we would not have to include one of the 18 things that there were geyser on. But v'yesh be'a kefir tefach, but its circumference is a tefach. And b'gozer ala kefir mishamevi, as we mentioned before, that there were geyser on the circumference because of the thickness, and that people might confuse the two and think that it is because of oil, and that the person who's touching it is only tummy up until the evening because of tumas oil, and that tumas oil only requires 1 day and not 7 days. And that's why we decreed that this type of person should require a tumah of 7 days. However, the Gemara concludes that Ulrib Tarfon, Dama Kapechas Beni, that it says that I'm going to cut off my son, Shalocha Zuma Kapachas, because this halacha is cut off. And that is, he says there is no such gezeira. Rather, it's enough this that we have the halacha mena Torah that they were only metama this person a tumas of er for the evening because he was touching the goat, but the person that's touching it does not have to have, so to speak, this rabbinic tumas oil for the entire 7 days. So the Gemara asks Batzulahu, so therefore he's short one of the 18 because he's not including this, because he doesn't hold of this gezer d'abonon of the person that's holding this farmer that's holding the goat that he's tummy for 7 days because of oil. It's not an oil, it's just tumas maga. So Rav Nachum Yitzchak, he makes up for the count of the case of Afbanais Kutim Nidois Mari Sussan Babiam Gazo. As I mentioned in the previous staff, there's another item that those who don't have from some of those that were counting as the 18, that is the other case of that the Kuthin girls, that they have the halach of Nida, even from the cradle, that was also decreed on that day. I will be Idach, and regarding the other one, regarding the case of Kalim, which were put under the pipe, Svila Kremeya, he holds the Kremeya, which Reb Tarfon holds the Kremeya, that considers that case as one of the 18 things, and therefore he removes this one and he brings in the case of the Kuthian daughter. So although he's not having this case that we mentioned regarding the Mardeya, the one who's carrying the goat, that he becomes Tumah Tumas Ha'il, that wasn't counted, but he has a different one, so to speak, to be considered for the 18, which is the case of the Kuthian girls, that their Tumah had their Halach of Tumas Nida, even from the day that they're born. So now the Gemara continues counting the 18. The Idach, what's one of the other 18? We still don't have 18. So the Gemara says, Haboitzu Lagas, someone that's harvesting his grapes for the winepress. There we have the Machlega Shaman Hill, again, which these are the 18 things that the two academies of Shaman Hill argued about, and that we were guys are like Shammai because they outnumbered Beis Hill on that day. So that is Shammai Oimer Huchsha. Shammai says when the one is harvesting his grapes for the winepress, the grapes are now susceptible to Tumah. And Hill says the grapes are not susceptible to Tumah. The Gemara discusses this machlekes. Hill said to Shammai, why is it that you say that the people must harvest their grapes in Tahara? Because if not, you're saying that they're susceptible to Tumah, and therefore if they're going to be doing a Tumah, it's going to make them tummy. So therefore you have to harvest it in Tahara, because now they're susceptible already. But you don't hold that they have to harvest their olive grove in Tahara. And that is, so why do you require a mandate that the kalim that are being used by the harvesting of the grapes have to be tahara? Because you're saying they're susceptible, but you don't require it when they're harvesting their olives to require kalim tahara. So Amalei, B'Shamay said to Basil, if you provoke me any further, Gizrani tumah al masika, I will decree tumah even on those who harvest olives. So that is, in other words, he was saying, don't push it, in other words. And this is my opinion that that it is, so to speak, susceptible to tumah when you're harvesting the grapes. So the Gemara says what happened is Natsu Kharva Bes HaMedrash. They stuck a sword in the Bes HaMedrash. Amran, they said as follows: Hanichnis Yikonis. Whoever wants to come into the Bes HaMedrash could come in. But those who want to go out cannot go out, because we want to make a count. We want to see who the halacha is like. And that day, Hayyihil Kafuf. Hill was submissive. And he sat in front of the Shammai like one of the students. And the Gemara comments, well, you cautiously saw that this day was difficult for Klal Yisrael. And that is because Hill was really the Nasa. He was the prince. But he was, so to speak, humbled on that day. So therefore it was so harsh, Kiyim Shenasa Ba'egel, as the day that the Egel was made. Which also the Mefarshim say that Aaron HaKohen Achur, they also were humbled and no one listened to them either. Here also, no one, so to speak, listened to Beis Hill. And therefore, Gazer Shammai VeHill and Shammai and Hill both decreed, and that they made the halacha like Shammai, and that is that the halacha was that if someone is harvesting his grapes, it has to be done with tahara because they're susceptible already to tumah. But they didn't accept it from them, and they didn't follow that halacha. However, Asam Tamidai, then the students of Beis Shammai came, Gazer VeKibul Minai, then they made the decree because Beis Hill acquiesced to Beis Shammai, and then Klal Yisrael war makabel that gezera, that it will be susceptible to tumah. Then, to which the Gemara asks, "My time, what is the reason that they are susceptible to tumah? But the liquid that oozes out when you're harvesting the grapes, a person doesn't care for that because it's getting lost anyway. So why is that beverages regarding the halacha of tumah? That is, although the grapes are having a liquid, and one of the halachas of tumah is that a food item cannot become susceptible to tumah until it gets wet with liquids." So here it's getting wet from one of the seven liquids, which is from wine, from the grape juice. However, it has to be that you have to desire the liquid, or that the liquid should get onto the object. Here, they're not desiring the liquid, or that it should get onto the grapes, because it's just spilling out anyway. They're not making grape juice, they're harvesting grapes. So the question is, why should it be considered that it's being susceptible to tumah if they don't desire the liquid? It was a decree, that maybe that people are going to be harvesting with baskets that are tummy, and that is that it will get the tumah from the keli, and that will consider the mashka, the liquid, as ready to make the grape susceptible. And that is, since the tumah and the susceptibility come together, so therefore the keli tummy considers the liquid as a chashav liquid, that you, so to speak, it makes it into the designated liquid, and therefore it will make the grape susceptible. However, the Gemara says, that's only according to the one that says keli tamei choshev mashkin shaper. That according to that one that says that a keli that's tamei, a vessel that's impure, that so to speak is machshev the mashkin, makes it, the liquids into a choshev thing, and that is it's that it makes it ready that it can make food items susceptible to it, even if the person didn't think about it, he didn't desire it. But the fact that it's a keli tamei and it has already significance, this keli, that it can make things tamei, so therefore it makes the liquid into a liquid that could designate the grapes into a food item that's ready and susceptible for tumah. However, lamando amei in keli tamei chayshem mashkin. But according to the one that says that just the fact that the keli is tamei, it does not make the mashkin, the liquid, into a, so to speak, a designated liquid that can make things susceptible. So the ma'ay kalemema, what could you say? What would be the reason why they made this decree that it should be make the grape susceptible if it's not true? If a person doesn't desire that liquid, and the fact that it's in a keli tamei won't be a reason to make it into a designated liquid that can make the food item susceptible. Say, la amaziri amar abchanina, a different pshat. It's a decree that maybe the person is going to harvest his grapes in baskets that are pitched. And that is that they're sealed with pitch, and that is the juice will not get lost. So therefore a person likes, so to speak, the grape juice that's spilling out, that's coming out when you're harvesting, because he's retaining it. He'll have grape juice, he'll have wine to make out of it. So therefore that liquid is desired, and therefore because of such a case, that then it will make the grape susceptible, because now it's, so to speak, liquid that you desire. Because such a case might happen, we decreed on all types that the grapes are going to be considered susceptible to tumah, that the grape juice will be considered a liquid designated even when it's not pitched. A third pshat the Gemara brings is Rav Amar Gezer Mishum HaNoishchus. It's a decree because of the cluster of grapes. And that is a lot of times when the grapes are close together, when you come to separate them, so then the liquid squeezes out on them. And since you did it with your own hands, and that it's impossible that it shouldn't squeeze it out because they're close together, so therefore that's almost considered that you're designating it into a, so to speak, a chash of a liquid. And therefore that will make the grape susceptible. Because of such a case, we were concerned for all types of grapes that anytime you harvest, we consider the grape susceptible. A fourth pshat, the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Bar Avua, Pa'amim Sha'adim Hoylech L'Karmer. Sometimes it happens that a person goes to his vineyard, Leidim Higia Novim Liv Tzira Lo, that he wants to determine if the grapes are ready for harvesting or not. So what does he do? V'Neutel Eshkel Anovim L'Seichtin. He takes a cluster of grapes to squeeze it out, U'Mezalav Agab Anovim, and he sprinkles it on the grapes, in other words, to see if it's the quality that it's ready. And at the time when it's being harvested, there's still some liquid that's wet on the grapes from the time when you, so to speak, squeezed out the other ones to see if they're ready. And since when you're harvesting, it's going to have that liquid you desired because you wanted to see if it's ready. So therefore, it's going to be susceptible when you're harvesting. So because of such a case, we decreed on all cases of harvesting grapes that it should become susceptible to tumah. So therefore, we have a few different pshatim of certain cases that since it will be a case when the liquid will be considered a liquid that was desired, either because you did it with your hands or because you wanted to see if the grapes are ready, whatever the case is, it's a case that possibly could come to that. So therefore, we decreed on all grapes, whenever you're harvesting it, Bishamay said that it'll be susceptible to tumah, and Bishil acquiesced on that day, because this is one of the 18 things that Bishamay outnumbered the students of Hill. So the Gemara continues on this. V'iduch, what's one of the other 18 things? So Amar, and the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis, Amar Tavi Rishba. Tavi, the hunter, said, Amar Shmuel, in the name of Shmuel, another halacha was, Afki Dulei Truma, that even the growth of Truma, that is, if someone plants Truma, even something that the seed totally disintegrates into the ground, for example, is grain and beans, but that itself has halacha of Truma, Boy Bayim Garza, that was decreed on that day, that even Gedulei Truma, the growth of Truma, should have the halacha of Truma itself. So the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason? It's not that Truma anymore. It was totally disintegrated and something else grew out of it. So Amar Chanina, Gezeira Mishum Truma Tahir B'Yad Yisrael. It was the decree because of pure Truma that's in the hand of a Yisrael. And that is if, let's say, a Jew, a regular Yisrael, not a Kohen, so then he's, so to speak, stingy and he doesn't want to give it to the Kohen the Truma. So he's going to say, you know what? Let me take this Truma, I'm going to plant it, and then it's not going to be Truma anymore. And therefore they decree this, says you're not going to be able to get out of it. You're going to have to give the Truma anyway, because even if you plant it and it comes out, that will have the same halacha of Truma. And therefore this was a way of not letting Yidden get out of giving Truma to the Kayin, because they're going to try to get out of it and say, let me plant it instead of giving it to the Kayin. But then the Gemara brings an Amar that argues on that, and says, Amar Rava, Idech Hashid L'Hach, if you're suspecting Yidden of doing that, because they don't want to give it to the Kayin, then they won't even be mafresh Truma in the first place, which means to say, min ha-tor, it's enough to separate one chita, one grain, one kernel of grain, from the whole pile, as Shmuel says in 1 second, that's enough. And obviously from the fact, as the Gemara says, kiven efshel mevet chita achas kedei Shmuel, since it's enough to make Truma one little kernel from the whole pile, as Shmuel says, and they didn't do that. In other words, he took off a nice amount that he's going to give Truma to the Kayin. Obviously, we trust the person. It's not that he doesn't want to give it, because if he didn't want to give it, he would have taken them one piece and that's it. It would have been Yaitza. So that's not the reason why we would be Geizer. So Rabbi says, rather, there's a different reason why we said that the growth of Truma has Halach of Truma itself. For a different type of case, we decreed it. Because when there's Truma that's Tamei in the hand of a Kayin, and that is, that type of Truma is usher to eat. Because it's Tamei, the Kohen is not going to eat a Truma that's Tamei. So what's he going to do? He's going to say, I'm going to plant it. And that is, we were concerned that of its original condition, which was it was Truma Tamei, we were saying that maybe the person is going to hold on to it until it comes the time of planting. And in that time, since it's not this planting season yet, as the Gemara says, Dilma Mashi Legabe, maybe he's going to keep it by himself to hold on to it until he can plant it. Because he can't eat it, he can't do anything with it, might as well plant it. He's going to come to transgression, that is, he might come to eat it in the meantime because he's going to have it in his house and it's available. So therefore we say that it's not going to help you anyway, because even if you plant it, it'll have the same halacha of the original truma, which will let it have, it'll still have the tumah of truma on it. That is to prevent their kohen from holding on to it, so therefore he'll, so to speak, get rid of it in the way that he has to, and they won't be in his house, so therefore it won't come to a situation of transgression. And the Gemara continues, v'idach, what was the one of the other 18 things that were decreed on that day? Also the halach of Misha Hichshich Lebaderech, if someone is on the road and it's getting dark on Erev Shabbos, Noisen Kisil Nachi, the halach was that he gives his purse to a Gentile. And that is that we don't allow him the, so to speak, what's usually allowed to carry less than 4 amas at a time. Here we decree that no, he should not be able to carry it, rather he has to give over his purse to a guy. B'yim Gozer, that was decreed on that day, that we don't allow him the usual dispensation of carrying less than 4 amas at a time. Rather, he has to give it over to the guy, and he's the one that has to carry his wallet. That was one of the 18 decrees. V'idach Nigmar says, one of the other 18. So Mabali, Oma Avimi, San Vaso, Piton, regarding the bread of Akum, of Goyim, v'shamnam and their oil, v'yenam and their wine, u'bnei sein and their daughters, which the Gemara in Avodah Zarah asks that the daughters of Avodah Zarah obviously is issa d'oraisa to the married, not just gzeira d'rabbanan. However, kulan miyutches davehin, all these things are from the 18 things that were decreed on that day. And that is all these things that we just mentioned regarding the bread and the oil and the wine, that's all one gezerah. That is, they decreed on their bread that it should not be eaten because you might come to have from their oil. And they decreed on the oil because it might happen from the wine, which might come to lead from having their daughters and so on. It's a whole process. And therefore, we forbid, we didn't allow them to partake, and therefore it'll create an intimate situation that they're going to get close to each other and end up marrying the daughters of the Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara concludes now the 18 things that we said. So, Hon Nichol Reb Meir, this is very well according to Reb Meir. That is that he counted the case of putting, we had in the previous daf, putting a keli under a pipe, which we consider that as mayim she'uvim, as drawn water, which would invalidate a mikvah from, because although that it was forgotten there, we consider it as a way of, so to speak, it was still it had an intention originally, and therefore that would invalidate the mikvah. So therefore, according to him, you have 18 different decrees that were made on that day. And that is, we have the 9 things from the original braisa that was quoted that said that there are 9 things that we consider that they have a din of sheni for tumah, that this is midrabanan, and therefore they will invalidate truma, which could become a shlishi. Then the 10th one is that we have that you're not allowed to read from the candle on Shabbos to the light of the candle, because you might come to tilt it. The 11th one is that you can't vein foilin, that you can't delouse your garments on Shabbos. We mentioned the tziner, that's the pipe, that then when you have the keli under it, if it goes into that receptacle, it becomes mayim she'uvim, drawn water. We had the halacha, the gzera of Mardeya, which we mentioned on the Medalef regarding the goad, that although that Reb Tarfon was correct in the sense that really the halacha, that the one that was carrying it was only tuma from tumas maga, which was a tuma of the evening and not a tuma of oil, but the midrabanan, we decreed that he should have the halacha of oil because people might confuse with that. And then we had the case of Bnei's Kusim, that the Kafian daughters, that they have halacha of need even from their cradle, from the day that they're born. And we had the case of when the person's harvesting his produce, his grapes, that the liquid that oozes out will make the grapes susceptible to tumah. And we had the halacha of giduli truma regarding the outgrowths of truma that has the same halacha of truma. And we had the halacha regarding that you have to give your wallet to a guy when it's getting already Shabbos, bein hashmoshes, and you're not allowed to carry less than 4 amos at a time. And then we had the bread and the oil of the akum of a goyim, which is one gezerah. If you add those all up, that comes out to 18 gezerahs. Those are the yudchet gezerahs, which were decreed on that day, which our previous Mishnah mentions. El Reb Yosi, Shivsri Havyan, but according to Reb Yosi, there's only 17, because he does not hold to that halacha of that when there's the keli under the tzinan was forgotten there, that Beis Hillel never agreed to Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai didn't win, the machlokes is still there, and therefore we pass on like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai. So therefore there's only 17, because we're missing that one of the kelim under the tzinan that were forgotten there. So the Gemara says, no, there is one more, which he counts as the 18th. Ikka hodder av acha bar ad. Damar av acha bar ad, amar av Yitzchok. He mentions some of the other ones, and then he mentions the one which is the 18th one. That is Gazra al Piton Mishum Shamnan, that they decreed regarding the bread of the idol worshippers because of the oil, as we mentioned before. And why was the oil forbidden in the first place? Because of their wine. So what Gemara asks on this, Al Pita Bishop Shamnan, you're saying the way it started is that they decreed the bread because of their oil? My Omadishamim Bipas, why is oil any better? In other words, to say that was the first one that they made prohibited, and that they prohibited bread because of the oil. Oil and bread should be the same. Maybe that they prohibited bread and then they prohibited oil because of the bread. Rather, the Gemara says, "Gazra al pitam visham the mishin yain." Rather, they decreed on the bread and the oil because you might come to partake of their wine. Layein and mishin v'nei sein, and that you shouldn't have from the goyim's wine because you might have from their daughters. V'abnei sein mishin debacha. And what is the problem with having their daughters? Obviously, besides the isra of that, but it leads to a much greater thing of what's called davar acha, which is a reference to avodah zarah. And therefore, that's the one we mentioned before as the 18th one. However, this mandamer says, this is the 18th one because that's like Reb Yosi that holds that the one of the tziner is not counted. So the 18th one is val davar acha mishum davar acha, and that they would decreed on something else because of something else. Which Gemara says, my davar acha, what does this mean? Something else? What was the gezer because of something else? Gazra tinik nachri. They made a decree on a Gentile child shemitam beziva, that he contaminates as a ziva with the same tum of a zav, even if he's not really a zav, even if he didn't have this emission from his member. And that is, that's because of the other thing, which is, we didn't want to mention either one of them, is that the Jewish child should not associate himself with the Gentile child because of sodomy, because of homosexual relationships that the goy might have with the Jewish child. And that's why, since we want to keep him away, we give like a certain tumah on them to, so to speak, that they should be disenfranchised and they should not have this relationship. So that's the 18th one. To which Gemara says, if that's the case, the Remeya Nami Tishri happens, and now Remeya has a 19th one, and we said there were only 18 decrees on that day. So the Gemara answers, although he has this decree also, that the Gentile child has the halacha of Azav, however, Oichlin Ukelim, Shenitmu B'mashkin, which were two of those that we had mentioned, this was number 8 and number 9, and the things that we mentioned that they have a din of a Sheni L'tumah that could invalidate Truma, that food items and vessels that were contaminated by liquids, he reckons them, he considers the food items and the vessels as one, because essentially they have the same halacha, that they're becoming a sheni from contaminated liquids, and therefore they don't count it as separate. The Remeya doesn't count oichel, food items and vessels, as separate. It's really the same halacha that they became tummy from liquids, therefore there, that's one, not two, so therefore he has one left over, and he has the one that we mentioned about the Gentile child as the 18th one, and this is where we conclude from the previous Mishnah regarding the 18 different things that were decreed in that day, that the students of Shammai outnumbered the students of Beis Hillel, and we pass in the halacha like Beis Shammai. Now the Gemara continues with other machlekes b'sham b'sil, but specifically regarding our sugya of Masechta Shabbos, related to the previous Mishnah before this last one, that spoke about the different things that one can start doing on Erev Shabbos, which will continue to go on and possibly a continuation into the evening, into Friday night. The Mishnah begins, b'shamay oimim, ein shayrin diyoy. B'shamay says that one is not allowed to soak ink, b'samonim and dyes, b'chashinin and vetch, which is the food that's made for animals, only if it's soaked, that it could be soaked still when it's still day, there's enough time that it could continue, it could finish its process of, let's say, soaking the ink, it could turn it to dye or ink or vetch when it's still day, then you could. But if it's not going to be enough time and the activity is going to be finished on Shabbos, that's usur. Ubisil matim, but basil permitted. And they say, as long as you put it into the water from before Shabbos and then it finishes on its own, it can be done on Shabbos. Similarly, the Mishnah brings, a person is not allowed to put in a bundle of flax into the oven, only if it can get heated from before Shabbos, that is, will finish the process of, so to speak, heating up the flax. And similarly, below, yes, it's similar, that he's not allowed to put in the wool into the dyer's vat, only if it could absorb the color from before Shabbos, if it could be finished its process before Shabbos, then Mishami says mutter. Ubisil matin and Bisil hold, then no, it's mutter to put it even from before Shabbos, even if it's going to be, so to speak, still gathering the dye into the wool when it's Shabbos. Similarly, the Mishnah continues with the same theme. Bishami oimim, in person mitzudis chaya v'oifis v'dogim, that a person is not allowed to spread out the traps for the beasts and the birds and the fish, only if there's sufficient time that these animals can be trapped when it's still Friday before it's Shabbos. But if it's going to have to inevitably happen on Friday night, then it's also no, as long as you finish your activity, as we see the theme of all these machlekes in, before Shabbos, even though, so to speak, a malacha is going to be done on Shabbos, that's not considered an issue that you're doing, and therefore it's allowed to be done. So then the Gemara continues, the Mishnah continues with another machlekes regarding the halachas of Erev Shabbos. That the B'sham Eimim ain't meichron l'nachi, B'sham says you're not allowed to sell something to a non-Jew. And similarly, ve'ain toyin imo, you can't load up something on him. Ve'ain magbiin olav, and you can't lift an object onto him. And that is, it's so to speak, something that he has to carry, and you're helping him load it on, because it looks like you're helping him to transport it, that he's helping you, and you're helping him to transport on Shabbos, which would be an isra of amir l'nachi. Ela kadesh yigila makom karav, only if there's enough time that this non-Jew can reach, a close place, which, and that is, he'll be able to get home before Shabbos, that's okay. But if he's going far away, then it's usur, because then again, it looks like he's going on a mission that you sent him on. As long as you finish doing your piece before Shabbos, it's okay. The person is not allowed to give hides to a tanner, and neither clothing to a Gentile launderer, only if it could be done from before Shabbos. And regarding all these different things, Beis Hillel Matirin, Beis Hillel say that it's permitted, and we continue on to Yod Chasam and Alf, Im HaShemesh, with the sun. In other words, even if the sun is about to set, as long as the sun is still up, it's okay, you can do these activities even though, so to speak, the melacha is going to be done on Shabbos, the goy is going to be laundering your clothing on Shabbos, the dye is going to be gathering into the wool on Shabbos, it's okay as long as you finish your activity on Erev Shabbos. So the Mishnah concludes with a comment that Omer B'Shem Gamliel, Noigun Hoyu Beis Abba, was the practice of my father's house, that they would give specifically white clothing to the launderer, the Gentile launderer, Shloisha Yom Kayim LaShabbos, when it was at 3 days before Shabbos. And that is, they were machmer on themselves like Bishamai. And since these white clothing are very difficult to clean, it takes 3 days, so therefore they were machmer like Bishamai, that it had to be done before Shabbos, so therefore it had to be at least into the cleaners at least 3 days before Shabbos. However, the Mishnah says, Veshavin Eilu Ve'Eilu, that both Bishamai and Basil concur, and they agree, Shetoinin Kairis Be'Sabad Ve'Iguli Hagas, that one could place the beams of the olive press and the circular planks of the wine press from before Shabbos, even though, so to speak, it's going to be continuing to squeezing out on Shabbos. And that is, what they used to do is that they used to lean these planks on the olives in the where it was being pressed. And similarly, they used to take these circular planks in the wine press, that they wouldn't squeeze it out with, like Rashi says, and as Rashi had in his days, with these different planks to squeeze it out as we do it in these days. Rather, what they used to do was that they used to first grind down these items in the mill. And so that was regarding the olives, similarly regarding the grapes, they would first step in it with their feet. And therefore, as the Gemara on the next daf says, that the Gemara, they ask over there, why was Bishamai Mekel in this case versus all the other cases of Mishnayos where the activity is being continued onto Shabbos, is because even without the beam, the liquid would seep out on its own. It just wouldn't come out as well. So therefore, it's not really similar to the Malach of Dash of threshing. And therefore, Bishamai says that since they already squeezed it out with their feet, or they already grinded it, and therefore what happened, so therefore this holding down the pressing of it is just, so to speak, to facilitate it better, that's not really like the Malach of Dosh, and therefore since an Av Malach would not be happening on Shabbos, it wouldn't be like what's known as a Chiyav Chatas, so therefore we didn't say that it's Aster to do it from before Shabbos, and even here Bishamai would agree to Basil that this is permitted, although they argue in all the other cases where you're not allowed to start something that's going to end on Shabbos, even if you're not doing activity, where Basil says that no, it's always permitted if you finished your part from before Shabbos, as long as till day, even if the Malach is going to be continuing on Shabbos, it's going to be mut.